Well, hello, ladies. Wow, wasn't that great worship? Woo. I feel like, you know, when we're in worship, God is just like plowing our hard soil of our heart. You know, so if you feel uncomfortable right now and you feel like you want to run out, because God's working in our hearts. When we feel that tugging and that like, ooh, this is not comfortable, it is really room for him to cause us to grow. And worship just tilled the soil, and it's just putting a place for a seed to be dropped so that we can grow good things in our lives, right? I know that when I usually study the word, I study in a way that it takes up my whole dining room. I take my computer and concordances and books and dictionaries and notepads, and I just research and look at everything that could possibly maybe be said about a certain subject until my husband says to me, "You've got to stop now." And I have to put it aside. He's like, "You have way more information than you need. Put it aside." And, you know, I was doing that while I was preparing the message, and I noticed that my computer was going really slowly, and every time I'd like type something else in, "Oh, what's this mean?" And it was like that circle of death, and it was taking like 2 minutes before it would be like pop, you know. And when I looked more closely, there were like almost 20 some windows open on my computer. And when I closed them all out, when I X'd them all out, when I got down to like 5, because I had to pick my favorite 5, right, to leave open, my computer ran more quickly. And I think that says a lot about our lives. We're here tonight, and we probably all had stuff going on today. We probably made dinner or packed lunches, got kids' things ready. I mean, your animals, you know, you might have had to run through a lot of things, and you had a lot of windows open. But worship provided us the time to close windows so that we can really see and hear what God wants to say to us. And I'm so excited because God wants to talk about hearts of devotion to us. Why does he want to talk about that? Well, because he loves our devotion to him. And just look around the room. Look at how many women are here. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to come here from 5 to 8 on a very sunny, nice day. That tells me there's some type of devotion in each one of us, that you're here because you are devoted to God. What does devotion mean anyway? This is what the dictionary says. Devotion is a strong love, affection, dedication, and loyalty to someone or something. And right off the top of your head, think of things that you think that naturally you fill in the blank. I'm devoted to my... There you go, see? You thought of something, but God wants us to be devoted to him. And when you have a devotion, it's like you have a single aim at one thing. And you're aiming at it, and your target's not going to move. You're aiming for that one thing, no matter what the cost. You're going to persevere, and you stay the course when you're aiming at something, right? So we could say that we came here because we want to engage with God. And can you hand me my purse, please? Thank you. So we could say that we came here because we wanted to engage with God. And I just want to let you know, when I think of devotion and I think of the word engage, what does that remind you of? Reminds me of, yeah, marriage, when you get engaged. And I'm just going to put a little rock on my finger that Rick gave to me when we were engaged. There we go. How do you like that? Woo, woo! I'm lying. But it will prove a point. And I figured I better come clean now. But when you think about a couple and when they're engaged, all they do is focus on one another, right? I mean, to the point where it can be sickening because you're like, okay. But, you know, you even notice in pictures, girls will be like, okay, let's take a picture together. And you'll be, oh, no, wait a minute. My good side is this side because, you know, I'm engaged now and the whole world needs to know. And you talk like this and everybody sees that. In the natural, right? Everybody, you want them to know. And you're attentive. And when the phone rings and it's your, you know, betrothed, it's the engaged person, what do? Well, in my days, I ran to the wall because that was my phone. And I didn't see who was on the phone, but I thought it might be Rick. I was like, oh, I don't want to miss his call. He might want to tell me something, and it's going to be super exciting, and we're going to talk all night. And I would literally stand there in the hallway, attached to the wall, without a chair, talking and talking and talking and talking, right? That engaged part. But being engaged, I mean, it is a goal. But it's not the goal. The goal is to live a life of devotion. And it's to live a life of devotion and walk that out at all costs. And I think that God is looking at us to say, ladies, do you remember the day that you got engaged to me? Do you remember the day that you said, I do? And maybe some of you are here tonight and you really don't have that day or time, but today can be your day where Jesus wants to lead you and forgive you of your past and lead you into your future. You can have a date. And we were so, like, excited to tell. I remember coming home. I was at a tent meeting over here in White Oak, and I went home, and I was so excited. And I told my family that I just met Jesus, and he's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And, oh, my goodness, you're going to be, you know, you're going to want this too. And my dad, like just looked at me like I had lost my mind because the Holy Spirit didn't touch his heart like I was touched. And how many of us, though, after a while of living like that, even in the natural, life gets a little bit mundane. You go into a routine, things get a little stale, and pretty soon the phone rings, and nowadays we can see who's calling. And it's like, it's just Rick. I'll get it later. I'll get it later. He can wait, you know. And that's how we are with God. Well, I'll talk to him on Sunday. I don't really need to talk to him, you know. I'll do that when I go to church. The pastor will have something good for me. And God is challenging us as women to get re-engaged if we've kind of had that little bit of brokenness with our relationship with God. And if we are engaged and we're happy and everything's fine with you and Jesus, well, then God wants to strengthen that connection. And I know there are some of us here that, you know, because of church hurts or because of unanswered prayer or maybe even going through the motions because you were, like, you grew up in the church and it's just all mundane and old. I know there's a lot of things that can separate us and cause us to disconnect. And even I myself have felt like disengaging, and I'm the pastor's wife, right? I felt like disengaging with God because he didn't answer the prayers the way I thought he should. My life didn't turn out in certain areas the way I wanted it to turn out. He's not doing what I wanted him to do, you know? But God has brought us here today so we can look at those aspects of our life and decide, you know what, it's time for me to give up that, take a step forward, and get engaged with God again. Move forward, take that step. And you know, the really cool thing is we think that tonight, I mean, I don't know if you felt it. Did you feel it in worship? Like you're just kind of like leaning forward. You're just like, oh, God, you're speaking. Yes, you can have my heart. You can have my kids. You can have my family and everything. Everything you want, God, everything. And we're leaning forward, but we fail to realize he's leaning forward towards us. Listen to this scripture. It's not on the screen. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He heard my cry. Do you know that word cry is, and I don't know if I'm going to say this right, it's a hallowing, and it's basically a cry for help. It's like where we're bawling to God, like, I just don't have anything left, or, you know, I need to hear you, or I need you in this situation, and we're bawling, and the scripture says that when we're Shava, when we're bawling out and crying out to him, that he's inclining towards us. And this is what the inclining means. And it's a word called nata, not natali, but nata. And it means to stretch out, bend, and extend. So when we're crying out to him, he's like stretching his arm out to us, and he's like right there, and he's like, I'm here for you. And he wants to touch all of the areas of our hearts that are in pain or hurting or even we're doing well in. But I think we have this misconception that he's not there. He doesn't want to answer us. And that scripture is proof that he's leaning. He's just like, yes, I'm here for you. I love you, my daughter. I mean, talk about a man who is obsessed with you. He knows you have over 100,000 hairs on your head, and he can count them and tell each one of us how many hairs are on our heads. That's in Matthew 10, 30. How does he know that? Why does he even care? So let's start here and read this scripture. 2 Peter 1, 2 to 3. This is what God has for us as women. He has this scripture. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And this is his plan for us. He wants us to live in more and more. That's multiply. He wants us to multiply in what? Grace and peace. We are women that can walk around full of peace, even when things are a whirlwind. We can have grace, right? Even when things are like unsure and uncertain, because he wants us to walk in that. But there's a little couple of words that follow. As you grow. So there's something we need to do. We need to be growing. We need to be progressing in maturity. So there's a little bit of an onus on our part that we can have that grace and peace, but we also need to be growing, right? And we need to be growing in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And that knowledge does not mean, that word knowledge does not mean book smarts. It doesn't mean that somebody can tell you and then you'll know. Although that's helpful, right? It's helpful to know. But what that word means is it means that you experience it. That there is a relationship in knowing, like a husband and wife knows one another, that no one else knows my husband like I know him. That's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. And it's the very reason why when, you know, you walk into a room and like this group of women are laughing hysterically and rolling on the floor and you kind of walk in and go, what's going on? What happened? What's, you know, and they tell you the story and then they crack up more and they roll around on the floor. See, they told me the story, but I wasn't there. I wasn't there for it when it happened. So I didn't like know it. I didn't experience it. I only understood it. And that's the kind of thing that God wants us to experience him. He wants us to have a relationship where we don't rely on our sister to tell us how we should feel or be. That we go to the word and we understand it. Now we can get help. We go to our connection group and we get help from other women, but he wants us to know him in that way. So Peter is saying the results of having hearts of devotion is that grace and peace will be multiplied in our lives, and his divine power for life and godliness will be present. And when people look at us, they should see. They should see us walking around in grace and peace. So ask yourself, let's ask ourselves this question. Am I seeing grace and peace in my life? Or do I just have, like, chaos and anxiety and fear? Or am I having the grace and the peace? Are we seeing it multiply in our life? You know, and ask yourself, am I experiencing him for myself, or am I getting everything from my friend? God wants us to experience him. And if we're not, then maybe we have to ask ourselves, are we noticing the signs in our life that we're missing in some way, shape, or form? Back when my, I guess 40 years ago now, I went to my very first ladies' retreat at what was then Word and Worship Church, and I drove, which is a miracle, and I took a couple girlfriends with me, and we traveled. It was an hour away, and we're like, and all of a sudden, my one girlfriend popped her head up, and she was like, hey, it's been an hour. Shouldn't we have been there? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was 19, you know. I was like, oh, yeah. And we started reading the signs, and we're like, oh, dear Lord, we're like an hour in the opposite direction. We got on the turnpike and just traveled for an hour. Yeah, oh, no. My husband called me one day. I was coming home from work, and he said, hey, Pastor Eric, he and Rachel live on the hillside above us. Pastor Eric called and said that the one long road that takes you down into your plan is, there's a house fire in your plan. So don't go down that road. They have it blocked off. And I was like, okay, thanks, bye. And I approached that road, and I looked, and I'm like, there's seven cars coming out of the road. That must have happened a while ago. And I made my left, went down the road, and I started to proceed to go down the hill and come around the bend, and it's like, there's a vehicle, it's a police vehicle, blocking the road. So I had to turn all the way around and go up and around and the longer way. Didn't listen, you know. Another situation, I was driving my vehicle, and, well, I wasn't driving. Rick got in, and he was driving with me, and he looked at the dashboard, and he's like, what is wrong with you? Your oil is, like, low. It's, like, on the negatives. And I was like, really? I said, I didn't notice the emoji. And I really didn't. And he's like, we got to get that fixed. This is not good for the car. What are you doing? And in all of these situations, I didn't see the signs. I didn't see them. You know, I didn't see the signs that were huge on the street, on the road. I didn't notice them. And in our lives with God, is he putting up signs and we're just choosing not to look? Do we have friends in our lives that are saying, don't go down that road? And I'm like, yeah, no, God, I'm going to go do my own thing. And our friends are trying to save us some time and some extra pain. Or do we have, like, blinking lights going off on the dashboard of our life and we're not seeing it? What are the signs in our lives? What could they possibly be? They could be lack of joy. They could be agitation. It could be everything is a chore. Everything is a chore. You're doing everything, and there's, like, no love. Complaining, you know. My husband used to call me when we first got married. Please, please, he doesn't call me this anymore because we've had long talks about it. But he used to call me Opal the Optimist. The person that was absolutely sure that everything in life would go wrong. That was me. And so whenever I would be that way and tell him how everything would not work out, he'd be like, okay, Opal. And that was like, that was our little joke, like, turn it around. But, you know, are we complainers? Are we blaming other people for our lack of growth? Well, if they would get their act together, then I could do what I need to do. But since they're not acting right, I don't have to. Even things like taking notes in church and growing. Or do we feel like, oh, I've been saved 40 years. I know all this. I don't really need to change too much, so I could catch it. So I guess we have to decide what we're going to do about this. Do we want to re-engage? Do we want to strengthen ourselves? And I want to let you know the big idea here is that we can be women that do re-engage with God and have hearts of devotion when we repent, return, and reveal. And I'm going to explain a little bit about what that is. But I know in a room full like this, we can tend to say, well, I don't need to repent. And I don't want people to see me to say, God, I'm sorry. But it is a big deal, right? We, even if it's the smallest thing, when I was in worship and God spoke some things to me about my driving, and I was like, I'm sorry, Lord, you're right. I do that. I do get to the verge of wanting to like say things to people in the other cars, and I do need to change. You know, so God can always speak to us. So the good thing is that we can look at Revelation at a group of people that also needed to follow this, and that is Revelations 2:1. Revelation 2:1 says this, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. And if God were to write us a letter tonight, us ladies here, what would he say to the women of Overflow from all over our campuses, from our visitors, from other churches? What would he say to us? Verse 2 and 3, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know that you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. So he's talking to the church and he's saying, I see all these things that you do. I see the way that you're working hard. He might have even said, I see you cleaning the church building or cooking a meal for so-and-so. He may even say, I see you, you know, teaching in kids ministry and I see you leading a group. But he says in verse 4, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. And the NAS says you've left your first love. And that left is neglect, leave, forsake. And he just kind of right out there told them, you've left your first love. Those are pretty strong words, right? It doesn't matter how much serving we do and all the work that we do and how busy we are doing the right things if Jesus isn't first, right? And loving one another like we once did. They lost their zeal and their warmth. And I feel like God is bringing us women back to that place to reevaluate. Are we women that are in that place? Check our hearts. Look at our dashboard of life. Are there things that we need to like fill up on so that our engine runs properly? Right? Tonight we need to make the decision that we want to go back and re-engage with Jesus and put him first and love him first. And I'm going to know him, not because my sister told me a story, but because I have a story. I'm going to know him intimately, and I'm going to be acquainted with him as a daughter. So how do we do that? Simple. Verse 5 says this, look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its places among the churches. We didn't need to repent. That's what we need to do. And when it says that you have fallen, that's a state of spiritual decline. So we just have to take an inventory in our lives and say, is there any area of my life where I've kind of fallen, where I've allowed myself to just, it's okay if I watch that show. I'm not really agreeing with everything they stand for. You know, what is it that maybe God is speaking? Repent means this: to change one's mind or purpose, to think differently, to change directions, to ask forgiveness. So what does repent look like? You're walking down this way and you decide to, I'm going to say I'm sorry, and then I'm not going to keep going that way. I'm going to turn and go the opposite way, right? And if we don't, then it says that he will come and remove your lampstand from its place. And I believe that just means that there's a light that could have been a strong witness to others around us, but it becomes dim because we have chosen to allow that to happen. That our influence in other people's lives won't be as strong as a result. So repentance just shifts our minds. It's a turning. It's a movement. You know, James 4:8 says, to draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's what God is asking of us. And in Revelation 2:7, it says, anyone with ears to hear. So if you're hearing and you have ears tonight and God's speaking, don't ignore it, right? Don't ignore him. If you have ears to hear, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. And we just need to allow ourselves to respond to what we're hearing and not be afraid, right? So we repent and we turn back, and he reveals himself to us. John 14:21 says this: those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each one of them. So he is desiring to reveal himself to us in so many ways. That word there, accept, those who accept my commandments, that means to hold in your possession, to hold tightly, to wear as a garment. It means it's you're holding it so tightly that it's such a part of your life that when other people look at you, they see the Word of God. They know. They might not be able to quote it, but they see it. It's as if, you know, you're walking down the runway of life and you're walking along and people say, what are you wearing? And you say, Jesus. I mean, that's what that means. It's a garment that when people turn their heads and look at us, they'll see Jesus. And obey, in that same scripture, obey means to properly maintain, to spiritually guard, to keep it intact. You know, and there are some things that God has told us, and maybe we're not keeping things intact, right? Because we think we could just be loosen it up a little, you know? And then, if we do obey, he will reveal himself to us. And reveal there means to appear, to shine upon, to make known and make visible. That he will manifest his presence in our midst as a result. You know, I'm all for reveal parties and women that want to have reveal parties and they find out if they're having, you know, a boy or a girl. Those are fun. But I think we should have Jesus reveal parties. I think we should have like poppers at Connection Group and we should pop them and they should go pow, you know. I was going to bring one, but I know that would not make the cleaning team happy, where the glitter falls all over the place. And it should say, she prayed out loud today, you know. Pop, I read the Bible each day this week. Woo! It's a Jesus reveal party, what he's doing in each of us. Because when he reveals himself to us, we grow. And that's that knowing. That's that intimately knowing. And it changes us. And we flourish. We flourish. We grow or develop in a healthy way as a result, in a favorable environment. So I just want to conclude with, you know, when we devote our hearts to God, when we engage with Him, when we see, you know, all the ways that we as women can change our life and the lives around us, when we repent and turn from what we're doing and allow Him to reveal Himself through us, He has great plans for our lives, and there's peace and there's grace as a result. And I just want to say, like, you know, tonight we're going to have a time of prayer later when we're done. And if God spoke to your heart anything specifically right now, just jot it down so you don't forget it. Because, you know, we would love to have our teams pray with you and agree with you if there's anything that, like, maybe you're struggling with. Maybe you feel like God spoke to me this during this time, and I want to be able, you know, I want to be able to overcome. But I want to pray this prayer from Jeremiah 29:11 over each of us. And while I'm praying, you can close your eyes, but I want you to think about you, and I want you to insert your name in this prayer. And I just want to remind you, God is not looking for perfection. He doesn't want us perfect. He knows we're not perfect, but He's looking for devotion. He's looking for, okay, God, I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to come back to You and devote this time to You and devote my life to You. Just join me in praying. For I know the plans I have for you, Natalie. So, Father, I thank You that this scripture, as I'm praying it, that the women in the room would be able to place their name in. So, Father, I thank You that You have plans for me, Natalie, and that You have good plans for me and not disaster. You have good plans to give me a hope and a future. And I thank You that in those days when You pray, I will listen. I thank You, God, that You're on the edge of Your seat and that You want to reach to us, that You're listening to us. And I thank You, Father, that when we search for You wholeheartedly, we find You. And I thank You that verse 14, Father, says that I'll be found by You, and I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. Amen.